Right. Thank you. Lovely to see so many colleagues here. I'm going to be talking today about San Francisco. This short term here is nothing funny going on. I hope that's the first time anyone at APHA has ever quoted Dolly Parton. So I'm just going to go ahead and set the record. We're quirky in San Francisco. Get used to it. E-cigarettes are very important. You've heard from my colleagues. There's some spots where I'm just going to fly through, and I'm going to fly because I'm a fast talker anyway. But there's some spots I'll skim over a little bit because I think you've gotten a taste of it. San Francisco's Tobacco Free Project's been around for about 20 years, and our paradigm really is to address tobacco use through environmental approaches. So that usually means policy development, policy approaches, whether they're legislated or like organizational policies. We do what I call kind of a loop of education and policy in concert. So with a new topic, a new threat, whether it's Ebola or in this case e-cigarettes, first you have to educate the public, you have to educate yourselves and policymakers, then you have to work on a policy, and then guess what? You have to educate all over again. So we have a local policy, and I'll tell you about at the end what we're doing now to educate the community about the policy so they know that it takes effect. What we do is we're very committed to social justice and engaging the most impacted communities in the work. So rather than me as the health department guy going out and trying to solve the problem, we always engage communities, often communities of color, low-income folks, and children to get involved in the community process. And this is something we're doing in a healthy retail in our Tenderloin neighborhood, looking at one community store and turning it over so it's a healthy store now. And they did this rehab and introduced vegetables and fruits and got rid of some of their tobacco advertising. So there have been many, many, many things in the last 20 years that have happened in San Francisco, many successes in limiting the impact of the tobacco industry and the health harms of tobacco. So here's just a big old list of them. It's initially some advertising stuff, self-service display ban in the 90s, vending machine ban, divesting from the industry, a tobacco permit ordinance, which has been very important in bringing our youth sales rate down a lot, smoke-free parks, smoke-free taxis, common areas of buildings, entryways, a litter mitigation fee. That means that you pay a little bit when you buy a pack of cigarettes because it's going to cost us a ton to get it out of the water system afterward because they get littered everywhere, as well as a pharmacy sales ban, smoking and housing disclosure, and then eventually in 2014, e-cigarette regulation. I'll tell you later about the specifics of that. Just a little bit, I don't know if this is horn tooting or whatever, but we know that policy works. Policy absolutely works on tobacco. And this is a study we were really excited to see recently that showed that of all the 3,127 U.S. counties, San Francisco ranked third in reducing male smoking in this period of 1996-2012 and seventh in reducing female smoking. So we think it's in no way a coincidence. My colleague Shonda from San Mateo County had very similar rankings, and this work came before us, so it doesn't mean that we did this, obviously. A coalition did this for many, many years, two decades. But it's an amazing thing, and I really would hang my hat on policy. That's why we've gotten the smoking rate down so much, 18.9% to now 13.6% in San Francisco. It's a pretty big decline over that period, and it's not just because we ran cessation classes, but we did run them. We continue to do that and commit to folks having classes to quit. So some of the health harms, I'm going to skim through this because I think most of you know a lot of this and some of my colleagues touched on it as well, but there's no long-term studies, obviously. They haven't been around long enough for us to know for sure. Local availability is randomly and rapidly expanding, as I'm sure you know, in your community. And here's some hard metrics, right? There were no stores in San Francisco in 2009 because there weren't any stores anywhere selling e-cigarettes. My poor dear employee, who is still with me somehow, went through and did a survey of calling 1,200 San Francisco stores over and over again to find out, do you carry e-cigarettes? Just in January, in preparation of this ordinance, he found out there were 351. I made him call them all again in June, and there were 450. So in a 6 or 7 month period, we had 100 extra stores. The number of stores increased 33% more during that short period. And I think that the tobacco industry is a part of that because they're rolling out their own products and they're already in all the stores, so it's a pretty easy thing to do. Obviously, they create aerosolized pollution. We try not to call it vapor, in our policy process because it is a pollution and it's not water. And there's some, you know, links there, as well as this false hope to smokers. We've been really lucky in our cessation programs. It seems that smokers are getting, it isn't the best solution. They get that this is an addiction and that they are addicted and they are trying to find a way out of it. And so it seems like the studies so far, you know, I know there's been some mixed stuff, but it seems like it's not the world's best cessation device thus far. So there's a lot of misinformation about harmless water vapor, and this is something we're tackling moving forward and educating folks about what actually is in this particular matter and how it can be really harmful to people. Our biggest problem is that this is new air pollution. Bottom line, people say, oh, this is less harmful. What comes off of it isn't, you know, it just smells like fruit. It's not as problematic as smoke is. For us, we have created a standard of smoke-free, clean indoor air in San Francisco, as many of my colleagues in California, many of you all over the country have. We're not interested in having, someone said there's Yucca Mountain has got a lot of pollution, it's got a lot of radioactivity in it. We're just doing a mini Yucca Mountain. Would you like to have it in your living room? No way. Like, we don't want to have a partial pollution being introduced into our indoor areas. We're not interested. We want to keep clean air as we've established it over the last 20 years. And then we know that kids, all this research is showing that kids are utilizing it, and they are being flavored in such a way that it's pretty fascinating to think that young people wouldn't like. I like the concept of thinking of like some guy like a biker or something saying like, I just love gummy bear flavored e-cigarettes. Like, it's like, really? Really? This is a guy who's been smoking for 30 years and he loves cotton candy? Like, okay, sure, believe it. So youth are very aware, and we found this. I've been working with youth agencies. Our youth leaders saw it in smoking schools. I'm sure all of you are aware of this. If you know any teenagers at all, certainly ask them, and they're aware of it. And it's all over social media. As our health department specifically, we are not all over social media. And I would say, in general, public health is not all over social media. So thank you for that plug, and I did follow your direction, Cynthia, and did that while I was sitting here. Millions of youth posts about people vaping, about these awesome products. Like, again, this hardened biker smoker is not using the Hello Kitty vape pen. That's not for him, right? So it's, why do these exist and who are they being targeted to? The young people, these are some quotes, I'm sorry that the formatting's a little messed up, but 7th and 9th graders in our local school district said, everyone's doing it, feels like a real cigarette, but it's safe, people use it in the bathroom, you can hide it easily. A lot of us have heard about people vaping, it's easy to vape in a hoodie, right? In the classroom even, you put the, you know, the vapor comes out, and then you're not smoking. You didn't have to leave. You didn't have to light up. You didn't have to go in the bathroom. You can literally do it when the substitute teacher is at the chalkboard. So there's a lot of rationale. I know Joelle talked about this a little bit as well. There really is a rapid increase in youth using these products, middle and high school students, and we've seen that. I think initially we saw the doubling from 2012 to, I think it was 11 to 12, and then we saw an increase again. So this is really problematic. We're seeing exponential growth nationally from some of the CDC data. And there's low awareness by youth about the addictive nature, and I would say parents as well. The industry claims are taking over for science. We don't have a voice right now. Note that other than what we're doing, working with youth directly and work in schools, I don't see any large force for public health saying, hey, wait a second, there's some questions. What we get is Jenny McCarthy, as was mentioned earlier, right? And she doesn't like vaccines, and she also doesn't, she supports e-cigarettes. Not exactly the poster child for public health. The product varies wildly, as we know, and there's no production standards, as my colleague said. And there's toxicity about child poisoning. This is something we're trying to educate parents specifically about. It really seems like we're stepping backwards because we're reintroducing smoking and non-smoking areas. So what we've done in moving this forward, we had some interest and support from our local elected officials, and our coalition was asked to gather some data and start talking about this issue, start gathering information in a very earnest way. One thing that we initially did was started finding out if youth can purchase these. So we literally sent youth out, and these are pictures of the e-cigarettes that youth were able to purchase. I was quite frightened because we've brought our youth tobacco sales rate down to about 15-18% at the most in San Francisco. That means we send in the police department with the youth decoy, we do a sting operation, only like one out of six times are they able to purchase. 91% of the attempts were successful. So young people went in and no one carded them. Now, there's been a law on the books for 5 years in California that says you must be 18 in order to purchase. And we do annual education to every retailer through a mailing. So we realize this is not sinking through. This is not new in 2014. This has been around for 5 years, that e-cigarettes are cigarettes. We did some additional work conducting surveys of young people about the perceptions about e-cigarettes, and at a local college. So it was great because it got that transitional age youth, 18 to 26 maybe. And 32% of them had tried or currently used e-cigarettes. So this was all really helpful in our kind of policy process to be able to tell elected officials, because they were completely unaware of this product before our youth started talking to them about it. And they stated that e-cigarettes are being used all over the place, on buses, in parks, on the campus. We also assisted the Unified School District in doing a classroom survey about e-cigarette use and perceptions, and 60% of 13 to 14-year-olds have heard of them, and many of them thought they were safe and harmless. So we realized that we're already starting to lose kind of the perception war, right, about e-cigarette products. A lot of young people don't realize that nicotine is in it. They don't realize nicotine's a problem. They think that they just have a perception that it's an all right and a healthy product. And I'll talk about this logo a little bit later. This is something we came up with, and it's all going to be available later if folks want e-cigarette educational materials. So we educated and engaged a bunch of new partners. One thing we did was reach out to doctors and researchers at UCSF. They are very good friends, and we happen to have an amazing research institution. We brought them out, and they were the backup for our policy process. School board leaders, the media. You see a press conference here that we conducted, and this is our elected official, Eric Marr, who's a superstar in San Francisco and a real leader in health matters, and a lot of our community members as well as Stan Glantz is in the middle there. I'm sure you all recognize him. And on the right are the media, just so excited to have visuals. So they all grabbed all of our e-cigarette products and were taking shots for the news, the 6 o'clock news and for their news reports. We developed a media and outreach plan. So we developed a bunch of talking points, and I've been proud because some of the stuff we've been using, especially this thing about it's the Wild West without regulation, I hear that all the time, and I think our press person came up with that. I just heard it on the radio related to e-cigarettes recently. We've had to become very clear, and this is something I recommend if you're doing a policy effort around e-cigarettes. If you're not banning them altogether, which you probably aren't, just connect them with cigarettes. Say, this is not a ban on e-cigarettes. They can be used wherever people can smoke right now. It's very simple, and it's very law and order. People get it. Our small business commission got a couple presentations from us, and they agreed. They were like, yeah, that seems like common sense. They weren't upset that we were limiting small businesses' capacity to grow their market share through e-cigarette. They were okay with it because they thought, that seems pretty legit the way we framed it. So we organized this press briefing, and we got a good amount of coverage, which was really helpful, including this this is an op-ed that our supervisor prepared and put in the San Francisco Chronicle, which is our local newspaper, about how they should be treated just like cigarettes. So we're handling the messaging. And then we got to the actual meeting where we had 50 speakers on the issue, and about 41 of them were our supporters, researchers, community members, the health officer, trusted community agencies. These are the grassroots people who said, this issue is important to us, and it matters, and we would like to see you move it forward. Now, the folks on the other side, just to kind of mention the question about who shows up at these, I've actually found that in different communities it varies a little bit. In our community, it was medical marijuana users. They were that was almost the sole opposition. We didn't have vape shops and that sort of thing. There's really a concern, even though our ordinance kind of has an exemption for medical marijuana use, there was a concern that this was kind of a backwards way of getting at vaporizers used for medical marijuana. That was some kind of trick. So we couldn't, folks were paranoid, which is kind of ironic, but we couldn't convince them, even though there was clearly a carve-out. And it actually worked out, probably shouldn't say this, but sometimes it works out that people that are the opponents are, they don't do the best job of presenting themselves. So the last person who presented was seriously Shaggy from the Scooby-Doo show. Like, have you ever seen, he wasn't the world's best closer. I would much rather have Joel there than this guy, is what I'm saying. He wasn't an attorney. So what the ordinance actually does, as I said, it treats e-cigarettes just like traditional cigarettes. It references all these. You saw the list of all the different ordinances. Basically, it plugs in and says e-cigarettes are cigarettes. So requires everyone to have a tobacco retail license, which is helpful for us, especially as we're having, like probably in many of your communities, new vape shops opening up, shops that are opening specifically just for the sale of e-cigarette products. And we also say that they can only be sold where cigarettes can. So this is great because we have a local pharmacy ban. My colleague Bob Gordon is in the back. He helped to really make that happen several years ago. And this means even though CVS and Walgreens in our community were already on the fence and they weren't planning on selling e-cigarettes, they said, this says that they can in the future. So even if it becomes a cessation sort of device. They can also only be used where cigarettes are allowed. And that's, for us, we're basically the sign in San Francisco says, your smoking should occur on the curb or 15 foot from the building. Those are the signs that we printed that are all over the city. Not in common areas of housing, not in workplaces, restaurants, bars, not on public transit, not in schools, parks, and playgrounds. And this is the signing of the ordinance, and that's our mayor, Ed Lee, in the middle, with all of our awesome, amazing youth advocates who really push us forward. So I'm so very proud of them, and I think it's great to see elected officials with young people like that. So implementation, let's talk a little bit about after the passage of this, which really only happened in April of this year, we've been doing the implementation. We put together a fact sheet, which is on our website, about electronic cigarettes and particularly this health code article, what they are, what's, you know, just as I stated, where they can no longer be used, where they can no longer be sold. We developed and distributed it. We sent it to a lot of sectors. We had to reach out to transit and say, okay, this is how it affects you specifically because you're the bus system, the subway system, the train system. Here's how it affects you because you're a bar or a restaurant. You're an office manager. We reached out to the human resource directory, like organizations, the restaurant association, schools, housing, retailers, and others, just to let them know specifically how this ordinance is tailored to affect the place where they work. And then we are actually going to be, I'll show you at the very end, kind of a teaser, we're launching community education. We're going to be using, this probably means nothing to most people, Muni and BART are our bus and subway systems. I probably should have spelled that out in San Francisco. And we're going to be doing advertising and related social media related to e-cigarettes and smoking. I'll tell you a little bit about that. We've also incorporated policing operations as we've been funding for the last 10 years since we adopted a tobacco retail license. We have started doing e-cigarette stings, and we have already found that the sales rate is a little higher. So despite our education, it looks like retailers are going to need even more education so that they become aware, again, e-cigarettes are cigarettes. So whatever law affects one affects the other. So we're staying on top. There's other things that we've been doing, educating providers. I've done a presentation to residents, docs at UCSF, University of California, San Francisco, and our San Francisco General Hospital to let them know. And they had a lot of questions about this, too. We want to make sure that the next generation of doctors aren't saying, yes, e-cigarettes, jump on it. We haven't seen any final research, but it sounds great because they are busy and affected by advertising just like the rest of us. Doctors are human, right? So they are influenced by the same thing. So we have to make sure that as the public health community that we're giving them the right education. So we really encourage the right, approved, FDA-approved methods to quit. And then we're using SF as we are here to support other communities. We're more than happy to reach out and connect with you. As Kendall Stagg, who's great from Chicago, helped us, and we've been connecting with LA and other communities. We're also bolstering support for statewide FDA regulation. This is a press conference that our U.S. Representative Jackie Speier held as she introduced legislation. It's just kind of hanging out in committee, but to regulate e-cigarettes, and much of it is about child-proof caps and some other regulations about flavoring and things. Some really good things that could happen at the federal legislative level, could happen at the federal legislative level. She introduced them anyway, which is really great. And she really wanted to bring attention, this is our emergency room of our local hospital, to that issue. Kids can die if this is a poison and it's flavored like cherry. I mean, it's just, you can't make this stuff up. It's like the worst thing we could possibly be exposing young children to. So this is very much in draft form, but in January, very, very soon, we're going to be advertising, as I said, on buses and subways. And our concept here is kind of thanking smokers and e-cigarette users, saying thanks for curbing it. E-cigarettes are harmful. And this is a listing of all the places in San Francisco where you cannot smoke and vape with our new logo, no smoking, no vaping. And we're still working its draft form. It doesn't even look like San Francisco cityscape in the back, so we're fixing that. But we're going to have information here, and on the bottom one you say we're really taking on the tobacco industry specifically, calling them out and trying to connect tobacco industry with e-cigarettes, because we really know that, you know, who's owning and who's moving these products forward. So stay tuned, and you can always check out sftobaccofree.org. That's our website. We're going to be doing a whole social media campaign, too, so feel free to follow us. Again, that is @SFTobaccoFree. So similar to the website, that's our Twitter account if you'd like to follow and get on board. And then finally, this is just our website. It kind of all matches with the theme. Feel free to check it out, San Francisco Department of Public Health, and this is sftobaccofree.org. And I think that's 20 minutes right
now. You are so good.
Boom.